From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let me extend a warm word of welcome to you. Thank you for joining us in this Let the Bible Speak service. May the Lord make it a blessing to one and all. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we do give Thee thanks this night for the person and the work of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his death upon the cross of Calvary, when he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. We thank you that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We thank you too, Lord, for the preaching of God's word. We thank you there is power in the word of God and power in the gospel of Christ. And we pray that as the word of God goes forth just now, that thou wilt make it a blessing to all that hear. Bless thy servant who will preach the word. Fill him with the Holy Ghost and use him as thy messenger with thy message to those that hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And our Bible reading is taken from Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we're reading from verse 19 to the verse 31. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Amen. Our next hymn is "Someday We'll Stand Before the Judgment Bar."
To thank the Reverend Abernethy for leading the service for us this evening. My text tonight is taken from Acts chapter 16, verse 31. It reads as follows, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." I've entitled our subject tonight, "A Simple Signpost About God's Salvation." These words that I've read were spoken by the Apostle Paul and Silas in direct response to the question asked by the Philippian jailer as he knelt before the men of God in the prison cell, trembling and crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" I want you to realize tonight that these words were not spoken in a vacuum. Hours earlier, Paul and Silas had been arrested for preaching the gospel. They were accused of being troublemakers. They were branded lawbreakers. They were charged with proclaiming a false religious doctrine. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 20 it says, "And brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." These, of course, were unfounded lies, purely fabricated false accusations, urged on by the mob. The men were beaten without a trial, which is unjust in itself. Then they were roughly cast into the prison. The jailer was charged to make sure they didn't escape. And due to these instructions, he made sure that Paul and Silas were put into the inner prison. And I believe that prison cell was a very dark, damp, smelly place. Maybe a few rats even running about. And they had their feet held fast in the stocks. Now picture the men of God in that prison cell. Their clothes were torn. Their backs were bleeding. They're bruised. They're sore. Their wrists are in irons. Their feet are held fast in the stocks. And they have no idea how long they're going to be there. Now let me ask you this question. What would you have done in those circumstances? Suppose you were arrested and put into prison for preaching the gospel. Would you have been displeased? Would you have grumbled? Would you have complained? Would you have murmured against God? Would you have questioned, why, Lord? You see, these men of God didn't do that. That was not how they responded. Why? Because they knew in their heart and mind they were in Philippi in the will of God. So they commenced to do something that every Christian should do in trouble. They began to pray. And at midnight, the Bible says, they prayed and sang praises to God. And through crying to God in prayer, using God's telephone number, call unto me in the day of trouble and I will answer thee. The men not only prayed, but as they experienced the sense of the Lord's nearness, they began to sing praises. And I have no doubt the prisoners heard them. The Bible tells us that. And then suddenly, the God to whom they had been praying, the God whom they served, the God to whom they were praising, that God manifested his great power. How? By sending a great earthquake into Philippi. Now this earthquake centered on one building in Philippi, namely the Philippian jailhouse. The foundations were shaken. The prison doors were opened. Prisoners' shackles fell off. Hours earlier, the Philippian jailer had gone to sleep. He was a godless man, an immoral individual. He had no thought or fear of God. He was really one of the hard men of the town of Philippi. Now, picture him asleep in bed. There he is in dreamland, in the land of Nod. And then the earthquake happened. It shook the jailhouse. The noise, the dust, the rubble awoke him from his slumber. And instantly, he feared the prisoners had escaped. He thought he'd commit suicide. And then he heard a voice, a loud voice calling out in the darkness, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the Bible tells us after that, he immediately called for a light. He came in to where the preachers of the gospel were. He cried out to them with a trembling voice, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And here was their answer. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And before 1 hour had passed, this man was gloriously and wonderfully converted. And the message that he heard that evening was a faithful but simple signpost about God's salvation. And that's what I want to bring to your attention tonight. A simple signpost about God's salvation. I want to do it asking 3 questions. Why must I be saved? See, why did the Philippian jailer ask this particular question at this particular time? I believe he realized that he was lost. I believe he realized he was under sentence of death. And therefore, he knew that he needed to be saved. You think of a man drowning in the sea. If he's drowning, he realizes that he needs someone to come and save him from drowning. You think of a man trapped in a burning building, flames all around him, in danger of being engulfed in the flames. And what does he realize? He realizes that he needs someone to come and rescue him from that burning building, or else he will be burnt alive. And this particular man, this Philippian jailer, realized, I believe, that he was under a sentence of death and that he was lost and undone without God. You see, hours earlier, he's a heedless, godless, careless man. If you want proof, think of his treatment of Paul and Silas as preachers of the gospel. They had broken no law. He knew that. But he put their feet fast into the stocks. He put their arms in the chains. He didn't care for these preachers. Whenever they prayed, he wasn't really listening. He didn't really hear them. He went on up the corridor asleep. The singing, the praise to God, it didn't bother him. He wasn't batting an eyelid. He's a man, as I've said, I believe, a hard man of Philippi. He had no thought nor fear of God. A man dead in trespasses and sins. A man darkened to all that God is as far as his heart and mind and understanding is concerned. A man diseased in his affections. And then the earthquake happened. And that earthquake magnified the mercy of God. And the free grace of God came to him. And he was awakened. His bed could have been his tomb. His very bed could have been his coffin. And he saw the stones, the masonry all around him, the tiles from the roof, the wooden beams, the timbers. God has had mercy on me, had to enter into his mind. I could have died in this room. I could have been lost and ended up in hell. And God was merciful to me. Now let me ask, is that a picture of you tonight on the journey of life? On the pathway of life, God has preserved you and protected you. Although you've had many near brushes with death, you've been preserved and others have been taken. And maybe you're asking why, and here's the answer. By the sheer mercy of God. We can think of air disasters. We can think of disasters at the sea. We can think of deaths on the roads. I believe this man came to realize before he asked this question, or as he asked this question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He realized that he was under a sentence of death. I also believe that he realized he was a sinful man under a sentence of death. What is sin? The Bible answers that question, or maybe I should say first the shorter catechism. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And of course, that's based on the scriptures. Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3 and 4. All unrighteousness is sin, John said, 1 John 5, 17. Even unbelief is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith, Paul said, is sin, Romans 14 and 23. Knowing to do good and doing it not, Paul says, to him it is sin. James backed this up in James 4 and 17. You see, the Bible teaches, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible teaches in the book of Ezekiel 18 and 4, the soul that sinneth it shall die. There's two ways to die. You can die in your sins. Jesus said this three times. If you die in your sins where I am, there you cannot be. That's a horrible way to die. To die in your sins, under a sentence of death, entering into hell for all eternity. Or you could die in Christ. Blessed are the dead, the Bible tells us. And that's the heavenly way to die. That's the blessed way to die. And this man recognized by the grace of God, I believe, that he was a sinner by nature and practice. Remember the psalmist said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And this man not only recognized the sin, but he repented of it. He was sorry enough to turn from it, to quit. And this man repudiated his former lifestyle. And we'll see in a moment how his life was changed. Let me ask this. Have you ever come to that place? Have you realized that you're lost under a sentence of death and you need to be saved? And that only it's God's mercy that keeps you alive and God has been merciful to you down through the years? Have you realized that you're a sinner before God? And have you ever asked this question? What must I do to be saved? We could ask the question, when did all sin? And here's the answer. We sinned in Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And what is sin? Whenever we think about it, it's a transgression of the law. But what does that mean? The Gospel of Mark says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Have you cried out that you deserve hell and judgment on account of your sin? You see, if you come to that realization, if you're brought to that conscious reality, if that's your conviction, then like this man, you will cry out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why must I be saved? Well, here's the answer. Because you're under a sentence of death, you're lost, and you're a sinner by nature and practice, deserving of God's wrath and hell for all eternity. The way you must be saved listen to the words of the text. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. See the word believe here. Very interesting word in the Greek New Testament. It means to trust in. It means to adhere to. It means to fully rely on. See, in relation to faith, there has to be the hearing of the ear. There has to be knowledge. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a privilege it is to hear the word of God read and to hear the word of God preached. And that's one of the key elements, an essential element, a consensual component in faith. And then there's an assent to that knowledge that you hear. You believe it to be true. And you believe all the truthful propositions that you've been told. And then there's a moment in time where you consent. Where you act upon what you've heard and what you believe. And at that moment then, you're exercising faith in Christ as Lord and Redeemer. Let me illustrate it this way. Think of a burning building. It's a cold night. A boy's trapped in one of the bedrooms upstairs. He hears a voice. He looks out. It's the voice of his daddy. He sees his daddy in an outline form. And he knows it's his daddy. And he knows his daddy. His daddy loves him. And he hears his daddy's voice, and the daddy calls, jump to me, son. I'll catch you. It'll be okay. And then the little fella jumps out the window. You see, knowledge of his daddy, that his daddy had arms strong enough to catch him, helped him to act by jumping out the window. But he wasn't saved because of what he knew about his daddy. And then he accepted in his heart and mind that his daddy was strong enough to catch him. He believed that. And then he consents to jump, and it was only when he jumps out into the Father's arms, that's when he exercises true faith. See, what is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is the saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he's offered to us in the gospel. Isn't it wonderful tonight to proclaim there's a Savior from all sin? If you'll only let him in. And salvation's not by baptism. Baptism doesn't wash away sin. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Salvation is not by joining a church. It's not becoming a more religious person or a moral person. It's not waiting for some deep awareness to come upon you. It's all about faith in Christ as a relationship. Believe in what? Now here's the answer. And a very exclusive command. The object of faith is a person. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. A unique person with a wonderful full title. See, when I say there's a Savior from all sin, I mean there's a divine Savior from all sin. Think of the word Lord. That refers to his deity. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the Christ. Christ is the God-man. Think of Jesus. That's his humanity. He's a man of real flesh and blood. And think of Christ. That's his ministry. What he came to accomplish. A very unique work. That's why he was born of the Virgin Mary. That's why he lived a sinless, perfect life. That's why on the cross he died an atoning death. Paul could say, for he that is God had made him that is Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And on the cross he was treated as one of the worst of criminals, one of the biggest lawbreakers, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And you see, it's not the physical sufferings of Christ. Many people miss that. You see, Christ, when he was on the cross, the physical sufferings of Christ don't save anyone. It's that Christ was made a sacrifice for us. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down in the right hand of God. The physical sufferings of Christ were necessary at the hands of men. But when they had finished, the hand of God took over and the wrath of God was poured out in Christ. God made his soul an offering for sin. That's why he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's coming to that realization. The Lord Jesus Christ, his eternal deity, his true humanity, his unique ministry, in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's faith in that unique person. You see, here's the answer. How can you be saved? Christ alone. And it's by faith in Christ alone. You see, unless you believe in Christ, trust in him, adhere to him, rely on him, you'll never be saved. Don't let Satan distract you, folks. Don't let Satan deceive you. Isn't he distracting and deceiving many? Don't let your mind be taken away by the non-essentials. Just so many get sidetracked by so many things to do with the Bible and to do with God and the relationship with God. But stay with these words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Focus exclusively on the word of truth. When must you be saved? Now. The Bible tells us, if we went on to read, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. You see, that moment when he believed, his life was changed and transformed. And how do I know it was changed and transformed? Think of his treatment of Paul and Silas afterwards. He brought them to his house. He fed them. He washed their wounds. He listened to what they had to say. And he and his house believed in God. According to the promise, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. He experienced and enjoyed household salvation. You see, if we were to examine this more carefully, he gave evidence of a converted heart. And when do you need to be saved? Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. But this man was saved that same hour. And he evidenced it by a change of heart. It was J.C. Ryle said, a deep sense of sin and hatred of it, faith in Christ and love to him, a delight in holiness and longing for more of it, a love for God's people and a distaste for the things of the world. These are the signs. These are the real evidences which always accompany salvation. And that man experienced that through the power of the Spirit. And he got this promise of the Spirit that if he believed, his wife, his children, they would also come to faith in Christ. And that's exactly what happened. When must you be saved? Now. And what will happen? These evidences will come to the fore. This man believed in his family. Have you believed in Christ? A mother? A wife? A husband? A father? If you come to Christ, your family could follow. You can lead them in the journey to heaven and home. Let's close in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, take these few stumbling, stammering words from this poor preacher. And bless them tonight as we have thought about a simple signpost about God's salvation. We pray you'll open the eyes of many. Teach them why they must be saved. Teach them the true way to be saved. Teach them when they can be saved. And what it means. For thou hast said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Save many precious souls, we pray, through thy word. We ask thee now to accept of our thanks for this time together. And we pray in Jesus' name that thou would pardon in your fear and blessing. We ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit will be upon us, both now and evermore. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.